What? Did we coordinate?
What's that? All you guys are all wearing kind of black.
We're very serious, yes.
You know, it's kind of an icy environment on my side.
Good morning, everyone. This is maybe the second time in 3 years that I've had a gavel in front of me. So maybe I won't need to use it. At any rate, welcome to everybody that's here. I will now call the regularly scheduled board meeting of the Washington State Liquor Control Board to order. This is Wednesday, February 22nd, a couple of minutes after 10 o'clock. And then we will ask Samantha to please call the roll.
Chair Foster.
I am here.
Member Quirose.
I am present.
Member Ma.
Here.
And we've all had a chance to see the minutes. Are there any additions or corrections?
I move for the approval of the minutes.
Second.
So move. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. And Karen, if you will get up and speak to the rulemaking and the dates, and then we'll go into a work session for comments.
Good morning, Chair Foster, Board Member Quirose and Ma. I am here today to request approval from the board to file a CR-101 to open up rulemaking on 12 chapters in 314. The reason for the rulemaking is the passing of Initiative 1183 in November of 2011. We already did some emergency rulemaking, and we've got a permit rulemaking in the process for those, but this was mostly cleanup, sections of chapters that state that certain entities have to purchase their spirits from a state or contract liquor store. Those need to be changed. Where you can purchase your liquor from. A couple of chapters need to be repealed. So if the board approves filing the 101 today, I would file that with the Code Revisor. The Code Revisor would publish the notice on March 7th. I would take written comment until April 2nd. I come back to the board on April 11th to get permission to file a 102 of the proposed rules. The Code Revisor would publish that notice on May 2nd. We hold a public hearing on May 23rd, and I would ask the board to adopt the rules on May 30th. If the board does that, they would become effective on June 30th.
Thank you, Karen. Do we have a motion to file the 101?
I move for the board in support filing the CR-101 for rulemaking to implement Initiative 1183 as presented by Karen.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you, Karen. Don't go far away. We may need you yet. We are now in a work session, a quasi-public hearing. Please remember that we will have a public hearing on these rules on April 11th. You have until how long to submit comment, Karen?
I will take comments up until April 5th.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So while we certainly want to hear from everyone today, remember that you do have time to submit written comment, and you will have certainly another opportunity for public testimony on April 11th. And so, Karen.
I just wanted to review or let the board know the reason for the revision to what the emergency rules were.
Can
you
speak up just a little bit?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
We received 3 requests from stakeholders to add or to define what the 24-liter limit per sale meant. There was some confusion. So the rulemaking group that was meeting to work on the permanent rules added a definition to 24 liters per sale, and that was that only one sale per day was allowed at 24 liters. The handouts that we have show the request that we received from them to define this part of the initiative, and with that I will let the board then take comment from any of our stakeholders. And just another thing I wanted to say is this is just a work session for the permanent rules. I will be back to the board next Wednesday, February 29th, to request approval to file a CR-102 with the proposed rules with the Code Revisor. As Chair Foster stated, we will have a public hearing scheduled on April 11th, and then I would come back to the board on April 18th, asking the board to adopt those rules, and they would become effective May 18th if the board adopts them.
Karen, I have a question. Any comments offered today, would they be taken into consideration as part of the public comment process, or will they need to be resubmitted?
No, they won't be taken into consideration. We'll have meeting notes. You're more than welcome to send an email to me so that I can make them part of the permanent record in writing. They will also be taken into consideration by the rulemaking group since the final permanent rules, draft rules, have not come to the board yet. We felt it was important that the board hear comment from stakeholders on this issue.
Thank you very much, Karen. I would ask, as I call people to come forward, we have a lot of people in the room, so speak with your best loud voice so everybody in the room can hear you. And I'm going to start with Michael Transu from the Contract Store Managers Association. And please state your name and who you're representing, even if it's just yourself. That's fine.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Madam Chair, and honorable members of the board. For the record, my name is Michael Transu, and I'm here today representing the Contract Liquor Store Managers Advisory Committee. And I want to apologize, first off, I appreciate you taking me first and understanding that I've got about 30 Tacoma Pierce County Chamber members hitting the hill in about 2 minutes. So I very much appreciate you taking me first and appreciate that. On behalf of CMAC, we agree with the proposed rules that have been sent out that there should be some sort of a temporal requirement on the retail-to-retail purchases allowed under Section 103 of the initiative. We feel that to not do so would make the limit basically a non-limit, and that would have an adverse effect on contract liquor stores. I would also like to point out and remind the board that the initiative does state that contract liquor stores are to be held harmless and to not place a limit on retail-to-retail sales. A temporal limit would, in a way, harm liquor stores, and then you wouldn't be complying with the section of the initiative that says contract stores would be harm averted, if you will. Those are the words in the initiative. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions. Very straightforward, very simple.
Madam Chair. I have a question, Michael, and we know that it's very formative at this point, the plans of contract liquor store owners, and we know they're all going to have different business models, but really, how important is their ability to engage in kind of large-scale sales like this? How financially, will it impact all of them, or will it impact some of them, and how much?
For those that are located in all areas of the state, having the ability to have that relationship with their restaurants and their bars and their taverns is huge. As we went through the initiative and talked about that, it's a pretty decent percentage of a lot of these stores, their Class H's accounts that they have. And so to lose those accounts and not have, you know, the unlimited ability for contract stores would be very detrimental. A specific number I can't tell you, but I can tell you that the Class H accounts and the restaurant accounts are a big part of these folks' business.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you. And again, my apologies for having to rush out.
Oh, that's just fine.
Thank you.
John Sullivan?
Good morning. Madam Chair, members of the board, staff, appreciate the opportunity to comment today on proposed regulation 314-02-107 and the proposed requirement to redefine the language in Section 103.1 of the initiative.
Excuse me, are you just representing yourself?
Sorry, I'm speaking for Costco Wholesale and members of the Yes on 1183 Coalition.
Thank you.
We're talking about Section 103.1 of the initiative, which talks about sales for resale and says no single sale may exceed 24 liters. And what the staff is proposing is to add into the language of the initiative a requirement that no sales of more than 24 liters shall occur in a single day. Now, I understand that the board and the staff have been very busy with implementing 1183, and we appreciate all the hard work that's gone into it. We also appreciate that the board was and the staff were not involved in the drafting of Section 1183. They had plenty of opportunity to provide comment on the initiative because, as you know, the guts of the initiative was actually SB 5933, which was in the legislature for a number of weeks. So board, staff, everyone in this room had the opportunity to comment on 1183.
I don't believe there was ever a hearing on that piece of legislation. That might
correct,
be important
Chair.
For people to know.
That's correct, Madam Chair. Mm-hmm. There was no hearing. There were stakeholder meetings that were held in this city involving many of the people in this room. And the bill was actually public before it was even filed. A draft of the bill was actually public before it was even filed. So Mr. Transu, Mr. Guadagnola, Discus all had the opportunity to comment. In fact, we met with the chair of Discus, and on at least two separate occasions, I had comments from Mr. Guadagnola on the text of the bill. Not once in the over 4 months of this process did anybody suggest that there be a temporal limitation on the 24 liter per single sale requirement.
I would suggest you don't need to shake your finger at us.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Not once in over 4 months did anybody suggest that what is now supposed to be inherently necessary in this regulation was required. And I submit to you that the Yes on 1183 coalition, including the Washington Restaurant Association, from whom you will hear, would never have accepted language in the initiative that limited the 24-liter requirement to a single day. It would not have been accepted. So for the board to change the language of the initiative by rulemaking would be thoroughly inappropriate. There is, of course, a precedent in Title 66 when lawmakers want to impose a per-day limitation, such as has been done with the micro-distillery statute. There is a way to do that, and the absence of that language, of a per-day requirement, in Section 1183 speaks volumes. It was not intended to be included. Finally, besides being totally inconsistent with the intent of the initiative, there's not been a single coherent policy reason for why such a limitation should occur. The only thing that you've heard is a possibility maybe of benefiting a fraction of contract liquor store association members whose benefit from sales for resale at the moment is entirely speculative. On the other hand, if you create more friction in the sales for resale requirement, you will do damage to the interests of thousands of bars and restaurants across the state and the millions of Washingtonians who patronize those bars and restaurants. So for those reasons, we suggest that the board and the staff maintain the language of the initiative as written and not add a temporal requirement.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, I have a question.
Mr. Sullivan. Question?
Yes.
Thank you for being here. I appreciate you coming down and making your comments. Just trying to understand as a practical matter implementation for a retailer such as Costco, which certainly stands to generate quite a bit of volume. And I know much has been made of the February 3rd letter that went out to licensees from John McKay. It relates primarily to wine sales, but extrapolating, my guess is that it provides the same rationale for spirit sales in the future. It was very clear in terms of saying resale purchases are limited to no more than 24 liters of wine per transaction. However, there is no limit to the number of transactions per visit. So clearly that's Costco's interpretation, not only as you stated it, but as you've communicated to licensees. Mm-hmm. So let me try to understand this as a practical matter. If I were to come into Costco and get one of those big carts that we move stuff around in, and load up 72 liters and go up to register, what is the policy of of Costco, are the cashiers instructed to ring them up 24 liters at a time and ask for a separate check for them? What is, I mean, there surely must be a policy that exists today relative to wine sales. What is that?
Well, one 24-liter limit through the front end, and there will be a requirement of a sale-for-resale card, one sale-for-resale card with each 24-liter transaction.
So does that mean, when you say that, does that mean I then have to, I can only bring 24 liters up, have it rung up, I have to go out to my, exit the building with my product, and then I have to come back in and get in line again?
No.
So I could,
such requirement.
I could come to the register with 72 liters, but they would have to ring up 24 liters at a time.
Right, which is actually consistent with the initial interpretation given by the board, which is essentially an order is a transaction.
Okay.
But also, remember, the language of the initiative is not sale. It's single sale. And there's a reason that word single is in there. And you have to give full effect to that word single, which means you can have double, triple, quadruple sales of 24 liters plus.
So
why even mention the 24 liters per transaction?
There is a degree of friction. Would we rather be able to have a transaction where somebody backs up a truck and we put 10 pallets into a trailer? We cannot do 10 pallets in a single transaction. We require people to go through the front end multiple times to aggregate their transaction. That is a degree of friction. It does not render the language meaningless.
So if let me, and I don't believe Costco does delivery, but let me take this one
step
further.
We do.
Okay. So if you had delivery, couldn't you load up 72 liters on one pallet, but have the driver deliver three invoices? So for all intents and purposes, you're accomplishing the same thing you're talking about.
We haven't made that determination.
Well, I'm just saying, but by your interpretation, using your interpretation.
Not necessarily.
Well, I would interpret it that way. I mean, basically, because you're saying transaction, you're defining it as a sales receipt, so to speak, or being rung up. So by the same token, if I take an order over the phone, and it's someone says, you know, I want 24 liters, I could palletize it, load it on a truck, have it delivered, and in fact, I think by your interpretation, couldn't I actually write one check for all three invoices? Or at Costco is the policy that if I take your orders, three orders, you know, using my 72-liter example, and you're saying we're going to ring it up as three 24-liter sales or transactions, can I write one check for that?
At the front end, no, three transactions means three tender types.
Okay, so again, so it's three different totals that are presented to me, and I have to write three different checks.
Three single sales. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And can you tell me why there is that you put a 24-liter limit in there?
Because the distributors wanted a fig leaf limitation on sales for resale.
What do you mean by that?
Something that was there so that they could say that they got something to have a limitation on sales for resale, but everyone recognized that in the absence of a temporal requirement, it would not have a meaningful restriction on sales for resale.
Thank you, Mr. Sullivan. Thank you for coming
down.
Since his name was mentioned several times, I will call John Guadagnola. Welcome, John.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I apologize in advance for my voice. I seem to be fighting a miserable cold. Two things I want to talk about, and let me address the second one first, because no one else has mentioned it. That's WAC 314.02.1064, which says that spirits retailers selling must pay the 17% fee only on sales that they make to consumers. And I would submit to you that that is an amendment of the statute. The statute specifically says that the 17% is payable on all sales made under the license. And sales to on-premise licensees are sales made under that spirits retailer license. And therefore, they all should be subject to the 17%. I think putting the word retail into the rule effectively amends the statute. Should not be done.
So you're speaking to a different aspect of the draft rules, but okay. I just wanted
to get that done. But turning to the 24 liters, The only exception I would take to your example, Member Marr, is that instead of 72 leaders, you could easily be talking about 72 cases and have exactly the same result. All you do is stand there at the check stand at Costco and swipe your card every two cases. It is a complete sham. It makes the existence of a limit meaningless. Now, someone else who was involved in the discussions more than I was can speak to whether or not this was a fig leaf. I find that, frankly, offensive because I don't think anyone ever agreed to that. I never objected to the comment for two reasons. One is the members were opposed to the very idea of limits, to my knowledge, that my members were, and so we were not going to speak to that. Second was it never occurred to me, frankly, that Mr. Sullivan or anyone else would walk into this room and say, ha, we gotcha. You agreed to a 24 leader limit, and it really isn't a limit. Shame on you. That is absolutely absurd. That is not what was agreed to. I have an email from Mr. Stevens in March of 2011 saying that he had just reached an agreement with the Restaurant Association on a limit of, it says, to allow a two-case limit on retail to restaurant bar sales.
We'd like to know that.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. I'm the Executive Director and General Counsel of the Washington Beer and Wine Distributors Association. I apologize. The board knew who I was, and I just...
The rest of us don't.
Thank you very much.
My mistake. I apologize. Anyways, he said they voted on to allow a two-case, 24-liter limit on retail to restaurant bar sales. Clearly, at that time, none of us was thinking that this was a complete sham. And frankly, it doesn't matter what the drafters thought about, what they talked about, whether the Restaurant Association thought they were putting something over on people or whether Costco thought they were. It doesn't matter. What matters is what the initiative says, what the statute says. And the statute says there is to be a 24-liter limit. And I submit that limit has to be interpreted in a way that makes some sense out of it. To interpret it the way Costco is urging simply makes it a nullity, a sham, and it makes no sense. As far as public policy reasons go, you have reasons for having distributors and retailers and distillers in separate tiers. If Costco wants to sell that quantity of spirits to people, let them get a distributor's license. But they can't function as a distributor under this sham exception. There are different ways of writing the rule. I will submit some different language that I think might be upset something to Karen, and I will send some more. I'm sure we have other comments. I just got these on Monday. I have not had time to get comments back from my members, and we will submit written comments. But that's the extent of my comments. I'd be happy to answer questions.
Thank you. Questions from either one of you?
Chris? Thank you, Madam Chair. John, a lot of this centers around the whole $150 million issue. And it's been suggested as we've had a debate around what preferences distributors have and so on and why the $150 million is the suggestion being, well, they're buying a franchise. They're buying the ability to establish themselves as volume distributors and establish themselves in the marketplace. So from your standpoint, if we were to accept the interpretation, as was stated by Mr. Sullivan, that, well, from our standpoint, as long as it's a transaction, and you're right, it could be, I could have these carts lined up from here to the back exit at Costco, but as long as as I understand it, you could have a separate express line. You could have box boys lined up to help you cart it out. But whatever the case may be. So as a practical matter, what is the difference between the ability to do that and someone who applies for and receives a distributor license and is obligated for potentially part of what we estimate to be a $90 million shortfall? What privilege differences does this a retail licensee acting like a right. distributor and a licensed distributor, is there anything left that is awarded a distributor from your standpoint?
As a practical matter, probably not. I mean, there is, as Mr. Sullivan said, friction that he used in terms of having to do the transactions the way they do them.
Okay.
They do make deliveries. They can sell whatever they want to sell and whatever quantities they want to sell, apparently. So it seems to me there's not very much difference. I'd have to think about that some more to see if I'm overlooking something.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
Ruthanne, did you have any more questions?
Mr. Marr, sale for resale extends only to on-premise locations. A distributor includes the ability to sell to off licenses, convenience stores, other retailers.
Thank you.
Mr. Bob Stevens?
I'm representing Southern Wine and Spirits, and
Mr.
Chairman, members of the board. At the time of the drafting of 1183, and I must say I'm a little uncomfortable in that while I was representing the wholesalers at the time, I also supported 1183 after they departed the ship, so to speak, so I'm a bit conflicted, but it is important to state what my client at the time felt about this particular issue. So,
your client meaning Southern?
Southern, that's
correct. Okay, thank you.
And our activities were also consulted by Young's Market Company, who's represented here today. It was very clear from both of those distributors from the very beginning that they were opposed fundamentally to any form of direct sales or retail-to-retail sales. That was their essential position. That was not an acceptable stance to the drafters of 1183, and so we embarked on an effort to strike some sort of a compromise that would, that would accommodate the desires of both parties. And initially, I believe that we'd suggested that a 9-liter, essentially one case, 9-liter limit for retail-to-retail sales would accommodate emergency needs that a wholesaler couldn't take care of. And that that was not acceptable. And so I met with representatives of the Restaurant Association just to kind of try and talk through the issue. And so I posed the idea that perhaps 24 liters would provide enough quantity so that a restaurant or a bar could fulfill their reasonably fulfill the needs that couldn't be served by my clients. It was brought up at that time that there was also a problem with the more rural markets where the contract stores exist, and that there was a long-standing relationship between the restaurateurs in those markets, places like OMAC and Clayom and places like that, that relied to a great extent on their local contract store, not just for their spirits needs, but also for their wine needs. And so in recognition, and the point was also made that regrettably that there was an impression that the service rendered by the wholesalers in some of those communities wasn't as good as it should be. So in recognition of that, I suggested at the time that perhaps we could support lifting the limits for those contract stores since they were receiving some other special recognition of the initiative. And so while I didn't have the full authority of my client at the time, it was my belief that a 24 liter limit on a single sale and unlimited sales for the contract stores would be acceptable. Regrettably, as it turned out, even that was deemed to be less than satisfactory, and so I think my client ended up withdrawing any support for the initiative. But that at least was the intent at the time, and I wanted to share that with you.
Thank you. I think you put a lot of light on some areas we didn't have a lot of knowledge on. Thank you very much. I think Chris has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Stevens, and I appreciate you coming forward because obviously you were also involved in these discussions. So based on your kind of being inside the tent, so to speak, and listening to these discussions and actually being part of suggesting ideas that might address the concerns on both sides, now that you're aware that, at least from Costco's perspective, they think that as long as there are separate transactions at the register, that an unlimited amount of wine and then eventually spirits could be purchased. Did you draw from the discussions you were involved with that that was intended to be an outcome if the initiative was passed with the 24-liter limit that we're trying to address?
Well, regrettably, we didn't give enough thought to it, but I can recall some conversation around, what if, and of course those were wild times. We were working on a bill and also drafting an initiative, and I was preoccupied with financial modeling and spent most of my time over battling with OFM. But I recall being questioned about what happens if let's say a restaurant has a catering job and suddenly they need more than 24 liters. What do we do? And, I recall a conversation around the fact that, I suppose you could send two people or go through the check stand twice or whatever. Those sorts of, things occur around most rules and regulations. But in terms of contemplating any sort of a systemic solution, I really didn't do that. And I frankly don't envy you having to, but again, I state that the intention of my wholesaler at the time was that there should be some limit on retail-to-retail sales.
Is there a reason why there wasn't it was stated as per transaction rather than per day? Or?
Just overlooked. Mm-hmm. It's just not something that we dealt with.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Joe Gillian? Wow, don't look like Joe at all.
Thank you.
Joanne, maybe.
Joanne Gilliam. I am a shorter version of Mr. Gilliam, who unfortunately got stuck in traffic with all the weather going on. My name is Holly Chiesa, and I'm with the Northwest Grocery Association. We represent the larger grocers. And we also oppose currently the language in 314.02, 103, and 106. I can help clarify a little bit about why it was drafted to your question. Retailers have no logistical method of tracking whether this is that retailer-to-retailer sale, whether they came in at 10 o'clock that morning, miscalculated how much product they needed, and came back in at 2:30 in the afternoon. We have no way to track that. We have no way to say, nope, sorry, you already did your 24. I can't give you a second set of 24. Or if they go from a Safeway to an Albertsons, to a QFC through the day. We have no way to manage that. And when I was in the room as we drafted this language, that was an issue I raised, was how do we manage that concept of putting a case limit, which was something we weren't crazy about. So the agreement was to make it very specific transaction-based, so that if that individual moved from store to store or came back to the store later in the day, that onerous would not be on the retailer to have to keep track of that, because we have no system, none, to manage that. I don't take people's driver's licenses when they come in to purchase. I don't do those types of things other than to make sure they're of legal age. So that is why that language was drafted this way. It may seem strange, but for those of us who were in the room, we talk a lot about legislative intent and what did the drafters mean. Well, the drafters are here, and we're here to tell you what we meant. And it's 24 per transaction, and that's the end. I would, if I might, want to comment on one other section. Am I able to do
Certainly.
That? Thank you. 314.02.107, which talks about the limit on the 10,000 square feet, excluding out of that square feet Starbucks, Subways, and ancillary businesses that are tenants. We do not agree with that decision by the board. Whether they are tenants of the retailer or partnering businesses with the retailer, that square footage belongs to the retailer. It is their liability financially, it is their liability responsibly, and to intentionally exercise out those businesses which make retailers who right now are at about 0.5% profit margin, it is very tight to say, because you've now invited those ancillary businesses in, that's going to be punitive to you on your ability to get into this marketplace. We absolutely do not agree with that. 10,000 square feet is 10,000 square feet and does not include those ancillary businesses. It should just be the retailer's footprint.
Thank you.
I have a question.
Chris?
Two things, Polly. So, as I understand it, and this is consistent with Mr. Stevens' comment, I suppose there was a consideration of, you know, what happens if? What happens if someone gets a catering job at the last minute? What happens if someone buys 24 liters from me, then goes across the street from Safeway? I mean, what if they bought something at 10 and 4? I can't track that. And I think all of us agree, as a practical matter, there's an implementation issue, and quite frankly, it would be hard to enforce. However, the real issue is the model as was being proposed by Mr. Sullivan, that whether or not that it was your intent that someone be able to bring through the register line 1,000 liters as long as they were rung up 24 liters at a time. And I mean, my guess is that you're saying, no, well, that wasn't what we intended, right?
It depends on the retailer's business model. And if the retailer wants to force that customer to go through that process repeatedly to do those transactions, the law says they have the right to do that. If a restaurateur wants to go through that line and repeatedly go through those transactions and pay that much markup, which is going to happen among the process, that's that restaurateur's decision to make. The law doesn't say, from a practical matter, we meant to do this. The law says 24 per transaction.
So just to get back to it, so that was that your intent at the time to say, well, if that model, they want to do that, they should do that? I mean, was that a discussion?
It was very much a discussion. It was trying to find a balance between those entities who were concerned about somebody backing up a pallet and purchasing a whole pallet from a grocery store for on-premise, I might add, or having to do, you know, a Saturday night, they run down to their local store, or do a special order with that retailer for various products.
No, I'm speaking specifically to, was it a point of discussion to have, we want to facilitate the ability of folks to have a business model which allows for unlimited purchases as long as they're one transaction after another. And you're saying that was very much part of the discussion?
It was part of the discussion.
Okay.
Yeah. All because right. From our association standpoint, and we've made no mystery with all of you, that we want this as free market as possible.
Well, I wasn't part of that discussion, so I'm
sure,
glad
I
you did. Now, to go to your other issue, which is good, because I was going to bring this up, and I know you had just sent some comments, I think this morning, that addressed this. Because to me, your second issue actually follows the same type of reasoning. And having been part of kind of and observing this rules group that was meeting initially, I think the public thought that it was going to effectively limit the number of outlets by saying they have to be this size. And again, the intent as a practical matter, and maybe this was as part of the discussion, was, look, from your standpoint, look, we don't think you should take out the Subway or the bank or the optical shop or whatever. 10,000 is 10,000. However, what if I say, what if my business model says I have 5,000 square feet and I'm just going to knock out a wall here and I'm going to have a common entrance and I'm going to lease out space to a deli and I'm going to lease out space to a couple other businesses? I'm in. Or I want to have a 500-foot liquor store, and I want to lease out the other 9,500 square feet. Again, by your interpretation, look, we didn't have any restrictions in there. It should be wide open. Mm-hmm. Don't you agree we've invited that type of interpretation? And is that, that seems to me to be a problem. We could have an unlimited number of stores as long as
that was our intent. Was to allow for those businesses who wanted to get into this marketplace, who maybe there's space next door that's empty, and if that grocer wants to go and expand into that space, as long as they own the space, it's 10,000 square feet and counts towards their 10,000 square feet total, they are liable and responsible for all 10,000 square feet in whatever maturation that takes place.
Okay, that's interesting. All right, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. I have a lot of people to get through. David Ducharme?
Yes. Madam Chair and board members, my name is Dave Ducharme. I'm here on behalf of the Distilled Spirits Council of the United States. Just briefly want to make some comments about the 24-liter proposed rule and where DISCUS stands on this. Any of the or knowledge of the discussions that had gone on during the drafting of the initiative, our position relative to privatization as a matter of public policy was that we were neutral as to the policy of privatization, but then the devil is in the details. And so there were specific provisions within the initiative that we did take issue with, one of them being retail-to-retail sales. We've been strong proponents and supporters of the three-tier system. We don't like a fourth tier added to that system. And for us, one of the key issues is that we just lose track of our product. It disappears into a black hole. We have no idea where our market is and who our customers are. And so it's very hard for us to be able to market our products and brands because we don't know who's buying them and who the ultimate consumer is. And so that's one of the key issues that we've had. And we've been on record saying that, you know, that that is our policy. Now, when we look at the initiative itself and the words on paper, and not having the benefit of the previous discussions among the different stakeholders at the time of the drafting of the initiative, you look at the words on paper themselves, and they clearly seem to intend that there be a limit, that there be some sort of a limit on the amount of product that can be sold in a retail-to-retail transaction. And if there wasn't a limit, then those words would be, if it wasn't intended to be a limit, then the words would really be meaningless, and you wouldn't have to have those words limiting it to a 24-liter transaction. So that's basically our position on it. Again, we don't, we weren't a part of drafting the initiative. We were involved in some discussions, early stakeholder discussions. We made comments in terms of some of the issues that we didn't, we wouldn't support within the initiative, one being franchise protection, but that ultimately ended up being in there anyway. So I'm not sure how much influence we would have had on this particular issue with regard to retail to retail. I think that that was one of the key issues that the proponents were not willing to budge on. So anyway, we would support the Liquor Board's proposed rule right now to limit those transactions to 24 liters per day. Be happy to take any questions.
Thank you. Chris,
no.
Got a question?
Thanks.
Julia Clark.
Thank you, Madam Chair and board members. I'm Julia Clark, here today on behalf of the Washington Restaurant Association, representing 5,000 businesses across the state, many of which are on-premise liquor licensees of the board. We do have comments to make on the proposed rules before you. First of all, we would like to thank the board and staff for the proposed language contained in WAC 314-02-104 regarding central warehousing. This language is a product of a collaborative process between the board and stakeholders to achieve the board's paramount duty of ensuring public safety and to meet the needs of the various business models of stakeholders involved. We appreciate the opportunity to work with industry stakeholders and the board in this type of cooperative environment. However, the Washington Restaurant Association is adamantly opposed to the proposed language in WAC 314, 02, 103, and 106, which restricts retail to on-premise retail sales beyond the clear language in the initiative. 1183 sets up a private system for the retail and distribution of spirits in Washington, which will operate on the principles of a competitive marketplace. Such market restrictions will severely limit competition, benefit one industry member to the detriment of others, and is contrary to the intent of the initiative and what was approved by voters. We further insist that the board has already defined a single sale in its November 29th Business Advisory Committee meeting when it stated a single sale is each sales order. There's no further clarification needed, and simply adding in language is arbitrary and unnecessary. And we ask the board to consider removing the language before moving to the next step and filing a proposed rule. We'd like to thank you, and also Bruce Beckett is here, Government Affairs Director of the Washington Restaurant Association, who can speak to the issues brought up about drafting of the language. We also have numerous business owners and licensees here today that can speak to the intent of the initiative and the drafting process as well.
Thank you, Julia.
Just a couple things. Julia, first of all, I appreciate your comments, and we've gotten obviously a lot from your members. I think some probably more respectful than others, but in any event, the question you raised around central warehousing, though, and our clarification of the rules, I just want to say by applying some of the logic in terms of us not going there in terms of clarifying the 24-liter limit, I think if we had imposed that, we never would have come to a solution on central warehousing, because I think there were some questions about what was intended coming in. So what you're saying is, though, and I think I've heard a couple references to this, and possibly even Holly in her letter had addressed this, was the issue of you believe where the statute refers to the 2-liter limit for craft distilleries, that somehow establishes the precedent, am I right, in terms of how we should interpret that?
Correct.
So, okay, I just want to clarify that. With that, and maybe Mary, I don't know if you could speak to that, or Rick, in terms of enforcement. So basically right now at a craft distiller, I can go in and I could purchase 80 liters as long as they sell it to me 2 liters at a time. Is that what I'm interpreting this to mean?
There's a per day requirement in the statute. It's absent in Initiative 1183.
Okay.
More?
No, I'm good.
Within?
No.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Julia. Pat Herbert?
No.
No, he's not here?
He's going to wait.
Oh.
Thank you.
Oh, okay. Don Robbins?
Madam Chairman, members of the board, I'm the Executive Vice President and General Counsel of Young's Market Company. Young's Market Company is one of the largest distributors of wine and spirits in the United States, and the largest distributor of wine in the state of Washington. We're here today to speak in favor of the draft that the staff has proposed. I've heard a good deal this morning sitting in the audience listening to the intent of the drafters of the initiative. I'm not sure that that's the proper focus for all of you folks here today. The focus, to my way of thinking, is what did the people of the state of Washington who passed this initiative believe? Did they believe there was some reasonable restraint on retail-to-retail sales? Or did they believe, as Costco has interpreted this language, to be, we gotcha? I don't believe the people of the state of Washington believe the latter. The questions raised earlier about policy reasons for this. The first speaker, I think, made the policy reasons for this initiative absolutely pellucid. It protects, to a large degree, the small contract store operator. In sum, we believe it is patently disingenuous to suggest that a single sale should be defined by the width of the plastic strip that separates the product as it moves down the conveyor line. That's what Costco would have you believe, and we don't believe the people of the state of Washington dreamed that that was possible. That's all I have to say. I think the staff has done a good job, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak.
Thank you for coming. I assume you came all the way from California.
I did indeed.
Yes, thank you.
I wouldn't have left without saying something.
Yeah. Did you bring any sunshine with you?
I've never been here and brought sunshine with me.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Any quick questions, other members? Thank you. Thank you. Larry. Name?
Yes. Um,
My name is Lawrence Main. I'm representing C-Star Restaurant in Bellevue and myself as a voter. Madam Chair, members of the board, I'm just here to say, and I apologize, I'm not as versed in some of the wording and some of the forethought that went into these bills as a lot of people in the room, but I want to support or show my view as a restaurateur. I am opposed to any change in the way 1183 currently works, and I do not care for the new wording as far as limiting the number of transactions. My view of the bill was that it was intended to increase competition, not limit us as restaurateurs to who we are allowed to buy from. I can say currently I buy from Southern, I buy from Young's, I buy from Columbia, I do business with Costco, and I also use a contract liquor store. My intent and my desire is to continue to find a way to work with a contract liquor store, but I don't feel I should be limited to that. If I choose to do business with other people, I think that should be up to me. Everyone's talking about a lot of the intent and what it was meant, but you know, as a voter and as someone that was interviewed prior to this bill going through, I say I probably wouldn't have supported it, and I wouldn't have lent my support to a bill that I thought limited my rights as a restaurateur to buy from different people. And I don't know if the public would have supported that either. You know, we talk about the bill supposed to be harmless to the contract store. I don't see the same thing as being harmless as well as giving them an advantage over their competition. It's two different things. I just feel it's, you know, adversely affects the restaurants as well as the guests. It decreases, you know, I consistently buy much more than 24 liters. Just the level of the business I do demands that. So, you know, to tell me to do so conveniently or to do so without jumping through a bunch of hoops, I have to use that contract liquor store, limits the supply that's available to me, increases the prices that are available to me, and is unfair as far as what I feel the intent of the bill was when it was passed. And I just wanted to, that's all I have to say, I guess, just wanted to voice that I would not care to see wording limiting the number of transactions to a single day.
Thank you very much, Larry.
You're very welcome.
You, I think you said Larry, but you introduced yourself as Lawrence.
Same thing, yeah.
Okay, okay, okay.
You thought it was in trouble.
I'm going to try to call every single person that has signed up. I would ask you if it's been said before, much more than ditto isn't needed, but please feel free to say, but keep it brief. So I'm just going to go down the list of the sign-in sheets. I don't know whether there's another sign-in sheet down there that I haven't received, but Curtis, you're saying there is not? Okay, thank you. Chad Payne.
Madam Chair, I just want to dovetail. Larry Main. I'm a C-Star restaurant in Seattle. In the interest of saving time, that I agree with what Larry has said, and as well as the Washington State Restaurant Association.
Thank you. Thank you very much. David.
Ciao. Ditto.
This may go very quickly.
Madam Chair, if I could, a lot of you don't attend these meetings regularly, so you don't know who we are, but we're appointed by the governor. Because of our different backgrounds, and I know a lot of you assume here because I was a senator and a car salesman, but I actually grew up in the restaurant business, Carmel, Monterey. My family owned a full-service restaurant, and also worked for McDonald's Corporation. So I know how hard it is for a lot of you to find the time. This is probably, you probably work late, and this is the time you'd actually be sleeping or spending with your family. So I do want to say I do appreciate you folks coming down and being willing to share your thoughts. It's particularly a sacrifice since if you're not at your restaurants, in many cases, stuff doesn't happen. So I want to express that.
Thank you, Chris. That was very nice. Rex Wolf. Not here. Jazz, J-A-S-S.
Sangre, ditto.
Ditto? You guys can say more than ditto. I didn't mean to give you a way out. Travis, Roth.
Rosenthal.
Yeah. Good for you.
I'll say
Travis.
More than ditto.
Good.
I've been known to say more than ditto. My name is Travis Rosenthal. I own a Tango restaurant in Seattle. I'm also the president of the Seattle Restaurant Alliance. And it's just me that owns Tango, along with my wife, my 4-year-old and 6-year-old. And I was part of the discussions early on with the Restaurant Association and the Seattle Restaurant Alliance. And I remember very specifically that it was 24 liters and it was per transaction. And that's why we gave our support. And we understood, or at least I understood, that you could go through a line multiple times. And without that, we would not have supported it. How it is written, it's 24 liters per transaction. I'm just a restaurant guy. That's how I read it. That's how I understood it. I know a lot of lawyers and other people get paid a lot of money to read these things very clearly. I'm assuming they read it the same way. If I could figure that out, I'm sure that they could as well. And if they, and honestly, unfortunately, if they misread it, I'm sorry, but the rest of us read it as it was written, and that's the law that got passed in the initiative that we all voted on. And we would not have supported that without that in there. If it was supposed to be per day, it should have been per day. If it was supposed to be per week, it should have been per week. To allow us now to try and figure out what was meant, I think is dangerous. Why not be per week? Why not per month? Why not per year? You're taking this, you're making some judgment call on your own. And we all discussed this and understood it very clearly. It was per transaction. And that's why we agreed to support it. And we would not have agreed to support it otherwise. And I think I'm sitting here looking at your mission statement here. The mission of the Liquor Control Board is to contribute to the safety and financial stability of our community. I think it is extremely dangerous if we interpret this other ways and have, right now we have 85% of our liquor is going to be distributed to us by two companies, one large one out of California, that aren't a part of our local communities. And to have them have a monopoly over us as a small restaurant, giving jobs and security to people in our community, is dangerous. And that's why we didn't want to support it unless it was per transaction. So I think it's a dangerous precedent to set. I think what we were looking for is as much of an open market system as we could have in order to protect ourselves. And we don't want to go to a grocery store and pull up a bunch of carts. That's not why I was there. It was to protect us against the individuals from out of state that have 85% of the liquor that they're going to try and sell us. They've already told us that there's going to be a 25% price hike as soon as the liquor stores are out. So they're already preparing us for that. All we're looking for is protection. We're looking for a checks and balance system. Those are the words we use during our discussion amongst ourselves. We want a checks and balance. We want to be able to say, if you're going to try and charge us $35 for a bottle of Jack Daniels, we'll be able to at least go to the grocery store or the Costco and have a competitive capitalistic society where we could have different price discrepancies. That's what we were looking for.
So the 24 liters per transaction had no bearing with you as long as you...
As long as that per transaction thing, that's how I read it.
As long as you can go through as many times as you wanted.
Yep.
And that's all the reason why you agreed to it.
That's correct.
So at the end of the day, I mean, and I appreciate those of you that are involved in the discussion, this is helpful. I think someone pointed out earlier, at the end of the day, it's going to be what the voters, how they would have interpreted.
I spoke to many of the voters and tried to convince them to support this bill because of that per transaction. Well, and I think the voters expected that we were trying to open up the market. We're getting the government out of selling liquor. That's what the voters wanted to do. That was the main part of it. Get the government out of selling liquor. Let's have an open society where, and it just narrowly didn't pass before because of the convenience store aspect. That was if that had been taken out of that original initiative 2 years ago, it would have passed 2 years ago.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that. I think a lot of us wish it was written as well as the craft distillery bill. I can say that because that was my bill.
Any other questions?
No, thanks very much, Charlie.
Thank you for
good testimony. Thank you. Amy's on the bay, because Amy, I can't read your last IGLOI?
Yes, IGLOI.
Thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity to come here and speak to you. I can certainly empathize that this isn't an easy decision.
And remember to state your name loud enough so we can pick it up and where you're from.
Okay. I'm Amy IGLOI. I own Amy's on the Bay Restaurant and Bar in Port Orchard. I'm a single operator. I don't have millions of dollars of sales at stake. And I can understand that this is a difficult process for you because I was appointed to the governor, by the governor to the Tacoma Narrows Advisory Board. And we have a meeting tonight, so I actually have to be on the other side of the podium tonight, stating what my recommendations for polls are. So basically, I'm here as a perspective of a single operator. I agree with most of what Travis said about opening up the marketplace and the original intent behind supporting Initiative 1183. I want the freedom to purchase my product from this retailer if they best suit my business needs. I can choose to purchase product from FSA or Cisco, which are the larger corporations for purchasing food, but I also choose to purchase product from Valley Center Produce, which is a small company, Puget Sound Dairy, which is right out of Bremerton. I appreciate having that freedom, and I just want to open up the marketplace so that we can have, it can be driven by the best price and the business that's best to my needs. So better service, better relationships, lower price. I think that's a good one for all of us. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Just a minute. I want to see if there's any questions.
Yeah. Thanks for coming down. Yeah. It's a drive.
Yeah.
I need to talk to you about those tolls, by the way.
Yeah.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
I'll see you tonight, then.
Mr. Garza.
I want to just make one clarification with all due respect to the gentleman that just spoke. We've been using the term transaction. The law specifically states no single sale may exceed 24 liters unless, and then there's the exception given to the contract store. So I just, for the record, wanted to make it clear what the law says. It speaks to no single sale. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think that's helpful to everybody. Did everybody hear what Mr. Garza said? Okay. John Howie?
I'm John Howie, and I represent John Howie Restaurants. I have five restaurants in the Washington area. And I want to speak to what I believe was the intent and what voters wanted to do, which was to take the state out of the liquor business and to create increased competition. And by changing this rule, as you have asked to do, I believe that that will change the competition, and it would change it in favor of distributors, it would change it in favor of the state-controlled liquor stores, and as Larry Main said, he works with me at C-Star, so one of my restaurants, we intend to continue to use all of our different distributors and the people that we work with, because we believe that there's going to be advantages to working with each one of them, and I don't believe we're going to see a loss of business for any of those businesses. And I believe that most of the restaurateurs will take a look at what is available to them and will work what works best for them. And it's going to be a situation where competition will create a better situation throughout for all. If we don't do that, the cost to the general public will go up. And like someone has mentioned, I have had a visitor from was either Southern or from Young's Columbia, I believe it was Southern, come and tell me that my prices are going to go up 25%. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what we've been told, and that we are going to be having to use distributors. And I'll tell you, it's funny that the gentleman from Young's Columbia was up here, and he mentioned that they didn't believe that Costco would be looking at the rule like this. Well, it's funny because their advertising that they put out pretty much the entire time when they were going against 1183 was saying how much money Costco was going to make. And that's the money they spent doing that. So it's kind of funny that they felt now that they're changing their idea that Costco, that wasn't the intention. Sounds like it was the entire time is what they were thinking. Anyways, increased competition is what we want to do. And if we have that, it always ends up with a better market. And I don't understand how we can look at and change rules that were voted in by the public. So if that's what the public wanted, they voted for it. Again, we can all sit here and say, we think this is what what everybody intended when they voted for it. But we don't know what they intended when they voted for it. We only know what was written into the law or into the bill when they voted for it. That's all I have.
Thank you. Thank you. And there won't be any more state liquor stores. You alluded to those. There won't
Okay,
be.
Well, the
contract
former
stores?
Contract store. Excuse
mm-hmm.
me.
Okay. Adam. from Tom Douglas.
Thank you. I'd just like to agree with Mr. Halley.
You're sure welcome to say anything you want.
I'm okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Pete Hanning.
Thank you, Madam Chair and the Board. My name is Pete Hanning. I own the Red Door in Fremont in Seattle. Along with Travis, I'm on the Seattle Restaurant Alliance, also the current president of Seattle Nightlife and Music Association, and then sit on the board of the Washington State Restaurant Association. I was involved in the drafting of 1183 when the initial nine-leader position was put forward. We pushed heavily against that. Nine-leader was assuming that things would stay static as they are currently in the Washington State Liquor Control stores, where primarily all the spirits we get are in the 750 milliliter volume. But if you look at open markets like California, it's just more efficient, it's more cost-effective to sell it in the liter. So if, right off the bat, we recognized 9 liters was a fallacy. It doesn't even get you to a case. And so we really were pushing for a higher threshold, if or no threshold at all, for what a lot of people said. You know, I use all the distributors that have been mentioned. I look forward to having that relationship as much as I have a lot of admiration for Tina and all the other people at Store 136 where I purchased my liquor and have for over a decade. It's going to be nice to get it delivered, and that is a service that I already get from every other company that I have a relationship with. That being said, if they don't have some of the products that I need, or if their price is too high and I can find it at another business, I should be able to free to go and get that product. And whether I go to Safeway and get 2 cases of Jack Daniels, because Jack Daniels is going to be more expensive getting it delivered, but then I need a couple aperitifs or digestifs that aren't available or that I'm short of, and I've already hit my 2-case limit, I still need to be able to go out and get those products from my customer. And at the end of the day, I want to go back to what Travis was saying about the safety. That is the role of the Liquor Control Board, is to protect the safety of the public. And the liquor control enforcement agents already have a really tough job. And I just don't see where this provides more safety to the public for them also having to try to track down whether it was 24 liters or 36 liters or whatever the number was. Really is, you know, for me as an operator, I need to ensure that they are of age and that I'm not over-serving them. That's what you guys put pressure on me, and that is something we take really serious. This, you know, counting, I'm seeing this extra layer of bureaucracy, but I'm not seeing a benefit to the public. At the end of the day, to us as a state, where is the efficiency, where is the benefit by us limiting or paying a lot of attention to whether it was 2 cases or 3 cases or only 1 bottle? And so I think that is really what we need to look at, is what's going to benefit us as a state. Thank you. Any questions?
Thank you. Moving right along. I'm not sure whether it's Ian or Tom Baker.
That's Tim.
Tim.
I don't have a lot to say, but I do want to reiterate a couple things that Pete said. My name is Tim Baker. I represent Linda Dershank's restaurants in Seattle. We've got 4 restaurants in Ballard and 3 in Capitol Hill, or 4 altogether. The only thing I really want to add is that all of this question of interpretation, what was the public's intent? You know, speaking as a voter, as a restaurateur, I believe the intent was to privatize liquor, to get the state out of the liquor business, to focus the liquor board on enforcement and public safety. I would ask us all to step back for a second and look at the question of interpreting this particular part of 1183. Because I think, as Pete said, what is to be gained by, you know, putting all this pressure on looking at the single sale? From my position right now, operating restaurants, beginning in March, which is days away, we're supposed to begin working with our distributors to take delivery of this product. And there's a lot of restaurateurs in this room. Does anybody have a price sheet yet? Does anybody know anything about how this business model is going to work? We are being told unilaterally that our prices are going to go up by 25-30%. The only thing that's at stake here, as far as I'm concerned, is the ability to give us an option to hold the distributors to some level of responsibility. Costco's ability, you know, I don't want to go in and roll, you know, two cases through one by one, but we need some kind of mechanism to ensure that there's fair pricing. And that was the intention of 1183, which was to privatize liquor and to give us an option to get product that wasn't previously being brought into the state. That was one of our purposes for voting for this law. But honestly, I mean, I don't see what is to be gained other than some small measure of protecting contract liquor stores by focusing on limiting the 24 liters to a day. I mean, and I think there's probably a lot more employees and restaurateurs that will be affected than the people that have elected to run the contract liquor stores. And that's really my perspective on the issue.
Thank you very much. Tim.
Tim.
Gotcha.
You can call me whatever you want.
Okay. The next one I'm not even going to try. Azteca Restaurants, I think, is who it, but the signature is something I just cannot read.
Indescribable. Madam Chair and distinguished board, I thought we had to sign it again in here, so I accidentally got on there, but I'm happy to. My name is Randy Thurman.
That's a Randy?
Yes.
Wow, looks like King to me.
Ian, Tim, or Tom, if I was watching him. I'm the Chief Operating Officer of Azteca Mexican Restaurants. We operate 30 full-service Mexican restaurants in the state of Washington. I'd simply like to echo the comments of the Washington Restaurant Association, the gentleman that talked from the restaurant in Bellevue, the seafood restaurant, Travis and Tango and Pete Hanning at the Red Door.
Thank you. Thank you. Questions? I think Jim Rowe. Did I get that one right?
You did.
Aha.
You did. I'll keep this brief. My name is Jim Rowe. I'm Consolidated Restaurants. We own and operate 13 restaurants in the greater Seattle area. Board, Madam Chair, thank you very much for this opportunity.
Thank you for coming
today,
down.
And thank you for all the work. I'm sure 1183 has been has probably cost you some sleep. But I'm not going to bring anything new to what's already been said, but I just want to emphasize. I'm also on the Washington Restaurant Association Board of Directors, co-chair of our Government Affairs Committee, and I sat in several meetings when we discussed drafting of 1183, and there really was no gray area as to the once we agreed on a 24-liter limit, that would be the option to use that would be exercised, and we'd have that option. One of the primary benefits of 1183 was to create a competitive environment. And like Pete said, like Travis said, we have relationships with distributors, and we plan to continue those relationships. What we need is an option to create that competitive environment. And that's what does that. It's really fairly simple. And I think the voters that I spoke to, that's how they understood it. So to me and a lot of people that I know, it's fairly clear and fairly simple. Anyway, I
have a question. So if you were part of the drafting this, I'm just trying to understand this. Now that we know, and apparently this was anticipated by folks, that there would be this ability, as long as it was a separate transaction, to buy in pretty much unlimited quantities, you did put a new license category in the initiative, which is a distributor's license. And you assigned to them $150 million worth of contribution in the first year. knowing that the only difference between someone capable of selling retail to retail and the distributor was that I had me, the Costco's or of the world, the Safeway's, had to divvy it up into 24-liter transactions, whereas the distributor could bill me all at once. What was that really your intent, to put someone on the hook for $150 million, but that being the only difference in privileges between those two?
Well, I think the 24-liter limit certainly, it does provide some friction, I guess, is the term that John used. And so, again, our intent really was that we would no, it wasn't, but to stick distributors with that. Our intent was really we assumed that we would continue to use distributors, that the business model would work itself out. We knew that there would be a transition period. Our goal wasn't to go to Costco and buy all of our liquor from Costco, but we wanted that option.
But if Costco can sell you 100 cases, three cases at a time, should they not be a distributor?
No, I don't, and I don't think we mean to just bring this down to you, but it is a question as we sit here and think about this, and it's something I would challenge a lot of people think about during the comment period, is the price of friction is $150 million. I mean, really, is that what maybe we're missing something here, and that's the idea of inviting comment, is to toss out to everybody, think about this and give us some feedback.
Sure.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Monique. Monique, you're going to have to say your last name loud and clear.
Trudnowski. All right. I can't see over us.
You can stand to the side if you'd like. I know what that's like.
I made my hair really big. You can at least see my hair. Madam Chair, Board, thank you for letting us be here today. Mm-hmm. I just have a lot of respect for what you're doing, especially in this warmth today. I, with my husband and with my business partner, John Howie, I own and operate Adriatic Grill Restaurant in Tacoma, Washington. And I'm here to tell you today from a single owner-operator standpoint, a mother of six, an employer of 58, what we've done for 4.5 years to keep our doors open to benefit the economic community. With the passage of I-1183, we are so excited to really have a competitive marketplace for one of our products, which happens to be liquor. If I had tomatoes, which I use a lot for my pizzas and my pastas, and if I was restricted to only buying one or two or three cases, it would definitely monopolize it and restrict my ability to create good financial operating plans. I really ask you today to remove the rule language limiting retail to retail sales completely. There's so much friction and so much not understanding or intent. I really believe as a voter and a small business owner that language the voters really didn't even intend. I truly, truly believe that. And I would just ask you that in sifting through all of this, if you have the ability to just remove that and allow the small business, the Joe the Plumbers, the Monique the Restaurateurs, the ability to buy competitively and create good business decisions to keep our business open and keep people from the unemployment line, we would be very appreciative of that. And, sir, on the board, you can tell me how your parents got you out of the restaurants and into public service, because after hostessing and busing for 12 hours, I told my 18-year-old, you will go to college and you will do something else in restaurants. So,
I think if I had to go home and raise six kids, I'd just work at the restaurant all day.
Thank you for your time and for considering my request as a small business owner, because we do live that day to day, and we would just appreciate that removal completely.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else out there that would like to speak that didn't sign up? Mr. Beckett, of course. We are glad to see you.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Madam Chair, members of the board, I'm Bruce Beckett. I was, along with a colleague from Costco, the sponsors of 1183. And I just simply want to ditto the scenario that Bob Stevens laid out to you in terms of the language development of this particular subsection. I think Bob stated, and I hope I get this right, that we did have the dialogue. Doesn't that mean that somebody could go through multiple times, or if they needed to go with additional people so that there was different transactions. And the reason for this provision, you've heard from restaurateurs, is to put a competitive balance out there in the marketplace. We fully anticipate that distributors will continue with the lion's share of the business because they have the opportunity to deliver and those sorts of things. But the intent of the language and the intent of the discussion were very accurately depicted by Mr. Stevens in his earlier comments, and I just want to confirm that. Thank you.
Bruce, everyone has their own interpretation of what was said here, but as I interpreted Mr. Stevens' comments, it was that these discussions brought the need to have some flexibility because of these circumstances, as he brought up, specifically referring to those in more remote communities that used contract stores. What if I had a catering customer at the last minute? I'm not sure that I heard from him that the model that Costco has now validated was a part of that. That is, 1,000 carts lined up at the register. Well, I mean, unless I missed something, I'm not sure that that was part of the discussion.
I mean, 1,000 carts may be an extreme, but it was clearly well understood in our organizations, and you heard it from many of our restaurateurs today, that it was a single sale was limited to 24 liters, but there was no limitation on the number or the timing between transactions. You know, it's not an insignificant burden and a significant edge for the contract liquor stores who don't have to abide by that limitation. I mean, you've got the receipts, maybe you have to go through the line, all those sorts of things throw a hurdle in front of somebody whose time is extraordinarily limited in their day. So we felt like we knew exactly what this language intended. And it was part of the conversation of the entire coalition.
Thank you.
So what you're also saying then, and what you somewhat blurred the line between distributors and retailers in terms of privileges.
The distributors, they may disagree with me, they have a competitive edge in the marketplace because, for the most part, they can't offer delivery services. They have a lower license fee that lowers to 5% after 2 years. There is $150 million, which we'll see how the marketplace plays out over the next year. But they have a significant edge in the marketplace over a retailer who has to carry all their costs through. I mean, that's at least our going-in hypothesis. Only time will tell.
Thank you. I think Ms. Kohler wants to ask a question.
Hi, Bruce.
Hi.
I just wanted to ask a question. If you intended to have the limit and then you intended in there specifically it calls out the contract store to give them an unlimited, if you intended the 24-liter limit to be multiple times in a day, why did you call out the contract store specifically as unlimited?
It was in recognition that there was private businesses that had entered into contracts to operate stores and that they should be allowed to continue in their business if they chose to do so.
But what's the difference if they can go through the line multiple times, it's basically unlimited, and then in the initiative it's called out that contract stores specifically are unlimited.
Well,
why would you separate them if both of them are unlimited?
One, it was to give a recognition to those private businesses that had made those, entered into that business on your behalf and perspective. And secondly, it's not a trivial burden. If you think of the, they're going to be able to sell to a restaurant in one transaction, whatever the volume might be. Everybody else is going to have to do 24 liters at a time if they choose to do that at all, and very likely not have delivery options and all the other features that a distributor can offer. That's why.
But Costco, Safeway, they have delivery options. So what would prevent them from, if it's unlimited, what would prevent them from?
Well, I don't know. I don't know that anybody here yet knows whether there's those sorts of options.
Thank you, Mr. Beckett. Thank you very much. Thank you so much for all of you. I know most of you came from out of Thurston County, and the highways are not fun today with the heavy wind and rain, and we appreciate it very much. Thank you. We welcome your comments between now and April.
And yeah, we met before.
Is there any new business?
No.
Any old business?
Sorry.
We are adjourned.
No. I'm just trying to break it down another thing. And Miner called me. Dave Miner called me, and I said, "Call me if you want." I'm trying to sort this out. And then we're going to be up there.